From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio this morning. We will talk a little recruiting, another official visit weekend in the books. Russell Johnson handling that for us at rebelgrove.com. But Neil wants to talk landscape a little bit today, be the voice of reason for the Ole Miss fan base. Mr. McCready over here, so we'll do a little of that. Also, Ole Miss basketball.
I was actually kind of hoping you would actually be okay. Some of the voice of reason as well. Just
Ole Miss basketball loses in Austin, Texas, falling to the Longhorns on Saturday afternoon. The SEC did win the Big 12 SEC Challenge, a challenge that I was not aware. I guess I should have, since I sort of kind of cover it. The name flips each year with each conference going in front when you say it. I was not aware of that. Yes.
Wow.
Next year it's the SEC Big 12 Challenge. So God,
someone got paid to make that decision. That's frightening.
They did. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess you had to call it something. So you.
So one year it's the Big 12 SEC Challenge.
This year, yes.
And next year it's the SEC Big 12 Challenge.
That is correct.
Oh
yes.
My God.
Make sure you get that right on all the. All the forms next
year. Remind me next year so that I can intentionally get it wrong.
You would do that.
Yeah. It's so stupid. Just call it something. Who cares?
Well, why would you want to be second?
What difference
does it make?
Give
the other team? Why would you allow the other conference to be first all the time? It's not really fair.
It's ridiculous. So stupid. I did actually like the idea of having it all on one neutral site.
Would be a cool weekend.
That'd be a fun thing. Play some of the games on Friday, some of the games on Saturday, and some of the games on Sunday.
Switch it in territories.
You'd get more media attention. People would go.
Yeah. Problem with that is you lose money. Always the problem with those things is you lose money. So.
Yeah, probably would.
Anyway.
Still a cool idea.
Yeah.
It's like the baseball teams get together in Houston or whatever. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I like it. It was fun last year. Anyway, we'll talk about those things a little more today on the show. We'll tell you with Super Bowl Sunday coming up at the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West Oxford. Got a couple options for you. Just as for Sunday, February 4th only. So get your orders in. Be ready. But on Sunday, you get two slabs of ribs for $22 or three slabs of ribs for $30 at the Oxford Exxon. Wet or dry, your decision. They will be ready for you to swing by and pick them up there at the Oxford Exxon. So check those things out.
I think that's what we're going to do.
Ribs?
Something like that. Because, well, we might do wings because, well, I don't have an egg anymore.
Oh, that's right.
And it's just going to be me and Carson. We might just get some ribs.
I have done the Oxford Exxon ribs for Super Bowl Sunday before. Works well. Jeffrey and I have done them several times.
Yeah, very good.
When he was local and in town. So those are your options. 22 for 2, 30 for 3. They're at the Oxford Exxon, and again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. You get Corey here, what's today, the 29th?
Today is the 29th.
You get Corey today, tomorrow, and Wednesday are his final 3 days for a little while to be able to enjoy a beverage. He always takes the month of February off, so you might catch him here on these desperate days, or maybe you wait for the strategy of waiting till the end of the week when the withdrawal has begun to kick in, and to try to take advantage of Corey, get an even better deal than you always get from Clark Ford in Amory. It's right to the bottom line. You call Corey, you ask for a quote, he sends it to you in 15 minutes. And then it's up to you. You can shop it around, or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other podcast listeners, and that's take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Like I said, right to the bottom line, we'll make it even better. Tell Corey you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. It's $500 off the bottom line on your deal at Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
You going to join Corey in that 28, 29-day pursuit?
No.
Sure. You could. It would help your Pilates and your metabolism and stuff. Really, it'd be what probably put you over the top.
It probably would put me over the top from a physical appearance standpoint, I'm not sure that what I would do to replace the therapy.
Be mentally stronger.
Nah, I'm good.
I'm just saying.
Could. It's a thought. It's one I'll take under advisement.
Yeah, I mean, not on purpose, but I've severely cut back, and I've never felt better.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean,
I'm not arguing.
To the point of really just going, nah, don't even care. None.
Yeah, I'm not arguing the merits of it.
I've had two mimosas since New Year's Eve. That's it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Nothing else. I might have had a glass of wine one night, but no, that's all. And it, like I said, it wasn't a resolution. It was nothing that I was trying to do. I just, for a couple of days, didn't really want it. And then after a couple more days, it was like, I'm fine.
Huh.
Just kind of whatever. And yeah, here we are 29 days later. And I guess three drinks total for the month of January. So something like that.
I don't even want to talk about how many drinks I've had.
And I don't even know if mimosa really even counts. So, I mean, you know.
Not much to it, but I guess it technically counts. But
it's kind of like the taste, frankly.
Yeah.
I like the carbonation and the bubbles and the effervescence, if you will.
Yeah.
So
for sure, I love a good mimosa.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
You like Bloody Marys, though, don't you?
No.
Oh, you don't?
No.
I thought you were a Bloody Mary guy.
No, both my brothers are big Bloody Mary guys, but not me.
What's the negative for you?
Just the thickness of the drink doesn't do anything for me.
See, I'm allergic to regular tomatoes, and then just something about that taste is
It just doesn't do anything for me. I mean, I if that's my choice, or
if you had to have one, do you want it real spicy or no?
Yeah, I'd rather it be spicy.
Okay,
and I'd rather use a tomato juice that's not that thick, corn syrupy tomato
like
juice.
Zing zang. That's the thick stuff, right?
That's the thick stuff. Yeah, like a Clamato juice, it would be better.
Okay.
But it's not my thing.
So you haven't replaced your egg yet?
No.
You going to?
I don't know.
It's interesting to me a little bit. We got a second before we go into something else.
So we had Campbell's group over. They had their formal thing the other day, and so we did steaks on the gas grill. They were really good.
It's fine. Yeah. You can make that work. It's not a problem. It's a luxury, not a necessity.
Yeah.
Here's my interesting thought with you though.
Okay.
Got a minute before we go to other stuff. You don't appear to be that bothered over the lack of an egg, even though you appear to really like to cook and use the egg and use it as an excuse to go pour a beer and watch it cook and that kind of thing. That appears to be one of your better pastimes, especially with the TV outside now where you can multitask.
There's truth to that.
So that hasn't really picked up the convenience of, hey, I've got to replace this, really got to do it. However, you're much more intrigued by the Peloton and your own physical ability, even though that's twice the price and something that you can replicate. Okay, I guess point being, egg to grass gas grill, very similar to Peloton versus all the other workout options you have. So it's interesting to me that you've placed such a priority on one versus the other.
I'll tell you how far I went on the Peloton Saturday.
Yeah, I thought you were pushing the trigger when you texted me on Saturday.
I called them. Their customer service is fantastic. So far, my dealings with Peloton.
You're trying to convince you that they are the best company in the entire world so you can spend that amount of money on something.
No, they're great. They're great so far. I went upstairs. They sent me a thing. I said, I need to test and they sent me a test, and my Wi-Fi upstairs did not pass the test.
Oh, is that why we have that under the booster conversation? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm going to try a booster, and if that won't work, well, then a Peloton's out.
Hardwire. I'm not saying it's the best choice. I'm just saying if you're spending already that, what's another?
But you'd have to hardwire the bike itself?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm not an IT guy.
It passed down here. The Wi-Fi down here was, as you know, was pretty good.
It's been really good the last couple of weeks for whatever reason that I don't know.
It passed the Peloton test with flying colors down here. But I don't want to put it in here.
Okay.
And so I tried it upstairs in the playroom thing, or whatever we call it. It's not really a playroom. It's like another living room, but the kids don't really use it. I go up there and watch the NBA. It didn't quite make it up there. So I got the booster that you recommended. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give that a shot. If that doesn't work, I'll send the booster back.
and cancel.
And cancel. And if it does work.
What it would do is it would just buffer and wouldn't quite be up to speed for the video. Is that what we're discussing here?
I guess so.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they were. I'll give them credit. That's what I mean. They didn't do the, oh, well, it'll be okay. Go ahead and order. It was no.
Yeah, that's more hassle for them later. Go ahead and
it was, yeah, you need that at a minimum. The words at a minimum were what made me realize, okay, well, I'm not going to do this.
If you're barely up on the edge of okay.
Yeah, if I'm in the middle of a class and then the class falls off because my Wi-Fi sucks. I mean, I'm not gonna, that doesn't work.
Okay. You don't think you're going to get, okay, here's last thing on this because I'm kind of interested and we'll move on. You don't think that you're going to go and do other things just as much because you're going to get bored just being on a bike?
Well, I'll still do some other things, but like I like the Pilates and stuff.
Yeah.
I like that.
Uh-huh.
So I'll still do that. And I can still get out and run in the hood and stuff if I want to. But I can replace. There's something else I can replace. Like
I'm sure the Peloton is great.
I'd been doing kickboxing for a while, and I could give that up in a new.
I'm sure the Peloton is great. The unilateral element, though, to it, its exercise is the turn off for me, where I'm not interested. It's not a backbreaking expense, but it's enough of an expense for me to go. It's only one thing. It has no multitask nature to it whatsoever.
Well, there is some other stuff that you can do that comes with it, like. Stuff that I already do anyway. For me, it's the added cardio. It's the cardio of it's the convenience of being able to get a really good cardio workout whenever I want to.
It's the new version of putting a treadmill in your living room.
Yeah, except it's a really nice treadmill that doesn't beat you up.
Well, yeah, I mean, I get that, but same principle, though.
It's in 45 minutes, I can go burn 700 calories at inconvenience. And if I want to, I can do two classes. If I want to, I can do four classes.
Okay.
I mean, that's the part I like about it.
Yeah. That's fun.
Because sometimes, like, I don't want to have to get in the car and go to the gym and then get back in the car and come home from the gym. Or I don't have that time. But there's not many days that I don't have 45 minutes.
You want to go basketball or you want to go recruiting? What do you want to do?
We'll start with basketball. Why not?
All right. Ole Miss falls to Texas on Saturday, 11-10 overall now. Is that correct?
That is correct.
4-4 in the SEC. They play Auburn on Tuesday night in Oxford.
Yeah, at 8 o'clock.
Auburn is 17-2.
I think it's 17-2. Might be 18-2. One or the other.
Okay. They played LSU and won on Saturday night.
Beat the crap out of them.
So they're whatever. They come to Oxford on Tuesday. Auburn won by 15, I believe, in Auburn earlier this season. Ole Miss had a big lead at one point, lost it.
85-70, I think, was the score.
That is correct, I believe. So we are still – we're not going to have the same conversation because, frankly, I don't want to have it that we have over and over and over again. But
it is, feels like Groundhog Week.
Yeah, well, it absolutely is. But it's the same sort of thing. They did not do what is capable, and you said this in 10 Thoughts. You're exactly right. We can talk about opportunities. We can talk about what's out there. We can talk about the success of the SEC, the RPIs and the KenPom rankings and all those things. At the end of the day, and it's where the hyperbolic nature of this basketball program from a fan's perspective gets lost. They're not an exceptional basketball team.
No.
They're not a tournament team.
No.
They also don't suck.
No.
They are squarely in the middle. They are a
very average basketball team.
They are, I mean, like, not in the, hey, well, they're kind of average, they suck way. Just, no, in every way, they're very average. They can pop up on days. They're going to win most of their home games. They're typically not going to threaten for 40 minutes on the road. They are what they are, and they are in a very small thing. And as we go through the rest of the season, it's what's going to be so tough for fans. Because this goes into baseball and everything else. Fans do like swings more than just kind of mediocre consistency.
Mm-hmm.
They like the swings. There's not going to be crazy swings. This team is what it is after 22 games or 21 games.
Yeah, I mean, I would not be shocked at all if they won Tuesday against Auburn and then lost Saturday in Knoxville.
almost kind of expected, frankly, if you told me to pick one.
Wouldn't stun me at all. Not even a little bit. If the basketball gods came down and said, oh, Oxford, we don't hear much, but hey, here's what's going to happen. Okay. If you told me this team went 9-9 in the league, I'd be here. Yeah. That's it. I mean, they beat Alabama. Alabama turns around and beats Oklahoma. But they beat Alabama at home. Could they beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa? Probably not. They didn't win on the road yet. They don't embarrass themselves on the road. They don't get smoked.
Should have beat A&M on the road.
Should have beat A&M. Frankly, had they played just a modicum of defense, they would have beaten Arkansas. I thought their effort the other day was lacking. I thought their focus was lacking. Now, Bamba was terrific. Bamba was great. And Bamba, if you watched him, Mo Bamba, the center, the 7-foot center for Texas.
He had 25-15 or something.
25-15, four blocks, and he impacted so many shots. He was clearly on guys' mind when they went to the basket.
He's incredibly long.
And very agile. I mean, he's a lottery pick. He looked like a lottery pick. He played like a lottery pick. I've heard people compare him to Hasheen Thabeet. No. As someone who watched Hasheen Thabeet play in the NBA, Hasheen Thabeet was big. But Hasheen Thabeet was a plodding big. This guy is agile. This guy has athleticism. He can stroke the three. He made a couple of threes. He makes his free throws. No. This is not Hasheen Thabeet. This is a very good, potentially elite NBA big. And he definitely impacted the game more than anyone else in the building. That being said, Ole Miss wasn't efficient. Ole Miss missed shots at the rim. They had those defensive lapses that have to drive Kennedy crazy, where they played 25 seconds of defense and then leave a guy. It's as if guys aren't studying and absorbing the scouting report the way that you're supposed to, the way that good teams do. Getting guys to understand that you have to take a different focus on the road is often out of a coach's control. We were just listening before we started. We pulled up
Nevada.
They had lost to Wyoming the other night in double overtime in Laramie, and we were listening to Eric Musselman, whose name comes up in conversations around here some, and he was talking about how he'd been telling his team, which had just gotten ranked, he had been telling his team, hey, this is a big game for us because the schedule's about to get hard. We need to be locked in and focused. Wyoming's going to be ready for us. This is going to be a big game for them. We're going to have to be ready, and his team kind of wasn't.
Yeah, they got popped in Laramie a little bit.
I am 1,000% confident. I'm higher than that in confidence. That Andy Kennedy has told his team, we must play with more intensity on the road. We must be more focused on the road. We must be more mentally disciplined on the road. Getting your team to do that is a completely different thing. I mean, I guess you could use cattle prods or something, but that probably would get you fired. Unless you're at Michigan State, where it would not get you fired. It probably would get you in trouble here if you
think Izzo could use cattle prods.
Probably. I don't think Andy could use a cattle prod on his players in Austin and make the trip back. There's not much
probably
you can
borrow one from Bevo.
He probably could borrow one. He would be able to get a cattle prod. I think the use of cattle prod would lend to be problems. So I don't know. But you're right. This team, when people go, this team sucks. No, it doesn't. No, it does not. It does not suck. And when people go, this team, man, it's got a really high upside. No, it doesn't. It's the end of January.
Yeah, they have really high upsides for nights.
They have moments, but everything must click. It was weird the other day. I mean, this is what has to be maddening, right? Dominik Olenicic played a really good game, especially in the first half. He was terrific in the first half. He was what they've been trying to get out of him in the first half. And then Dominik Olenicic in the second half kind of fell off, but they didn't get big nights from Terrence Davis, Markel Crawford, Breann Tyree. DeAndre Burnett was very good, but you got to have more than that. You got to have 3-4 guys step up, and they didn't.
Here's the road thing that's kind of fascinating to me. And look, they got to win road games. I mean, they dug themselves into a hole with those overtime home losses to where that's still where this thing is coming from. They lost to South Dakota State, Virginia Tech, and Illinois State. And because of those losses, you've got to make it up, and whatever it is what it is, okay? In saying that, it's kind of funny, though, because everybody goes, oh, they suck on the road. And look, they haven't won a road game, so yeah, they're not good on the road. The schedule has not lent itself for real easy road games by any stretch of the imagination. Just kind of looking at this on KenPom this morning. Let me make sure I got this right. Their road games are against number 45, let's see, number 69.
These are the road games coming up?
No, the ones they've already played, they've lost. Gotcha. Number 8, number 36, number 47, and number 42. All top 50 road games, and then the number 69, that was Georgia, lost in Athens. I mean, they haven't played patsies on the road. They've played really good teams, and when college basketball teams typically win in their own buildings, well, playing a really good one on the road is pretty tough to do, but nonetheless, at the end of the day, it's a school board business, and you got to make up for those overtime home losses somewhere along the way.
Yeah, I mean,
it's complicated.
It is. Oh, dude. It's
judging by the current KenPom, they will not play a road game this season against a team worse than 71 in KenPom. 71.
Yeah.
That's state.
They only have one, quote, bad loss right now. I think Illinois State is outside.
165.
That's a bad home loss.
Yeah.
The other ones, like Middle Tennessee's a perfectly fine loss. They don't have bad losses. They have the one bad loss. They have some good wins. They have several top 100 wins.
Win the home games.
They lost those home games, and those are killing them right now. Otherwise,
it's rendered everything moot.
Otherwise, we would be having a bubble discussion, and tomorrow night would feel like a really big game. As it is, we've gotten to this place with,
and the players have to feel it too. The monotony of the week.
Yeah. We've instead gotten to this place, and this is an unhealthy place, where you feel like there's fans that are, quote, Ole Miss fans who are kind of cheering against them because they want the axe to fall. And I won't be surprised at all if tomorrow night Ole Miss wins. Not even a little. Because Bruce Pearl's got to tell his team, which are a bunch of kids, hey, you know what? Remember those guys that you ran away from in the second half the other day? Like 3 weeks ago? They're good at home. They typically kick our ass in that building. So let's get ready. They're going to be ready for you. Let's get ready. Those kids are going, man, we beat them. We beat them. You know, Bruce Pearl is telling his guys this is a losable game if you're not focused? Of course he is. He's not an idiot. That's why I love, does Kennedy even talk to his players? I mean, come on, stop. When people do stuff like that, I tune it out. I get that email. Does he even coach free throws? Are you being serious? Like when they lose the opener in baseball, did they even practice hitting all offseason? No, they didn't. In fact, that was the thing. That's what they did. They put the bats away.
They did the shadow ball thing like you see the high school teams do sometimes where they take the infield without the ball.
Without the ball.
And you just do the little motions and you pantomime it all the way around the field.
That's what they did. Thought he'd shake it up this year.
That is a way to loosen everybody up, frankly, because you have like people diving in the hole with no ball. It's kind of whatever for a day.
Listen, yeah. Of course they practice their freaking free throws, and of course he talks to his team, but you're trying to get 19 and 20 and 21-year-old kids to listen to you.
Oh, I'm dreading February 16th because I see a Winthrop 2-1 win because they've got that guy that's a pretty good pitcher. He's the Big South pitcher of the year in that league.
And it's 41 degrees and people's hands are buzzing and the ball doesn't
carry.
And
because it's 41 degrees in the first week, Rollison doesn't pitch past the fifth, and then somebody gives up a 2-run bomb in the eighth, and suddenly
why did Mike take him out?
Yeah. It's February 16th.
Did they not practice hitting the holes? What is the deal? Yeah. That's fans. That's where we are with fan with this particular basketball team is you have fans that are
– I think Pomeranz lost the game to ULM on opening day 1 year. I mean, that was ULM, obviously, but still, I'm pretty sure he did, if I remember that correctly.
We're typically really good early in the season because the academic rigors of
as finals loom
have not kicked in yet.
Yeah. What else has not kicked in is the need to do yard work for the 2018 calendar year, but it will. And when that time comes, you should be ready with Master Cuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773 or mastercutslawn.com. You sign an annual contract, and when the time comes, first cut's free when you mention the podcast. They do outdoor living areas. They do landscaping. They even put salt out on your driveways when the ice was here. Whatever you need, Master Cuts can help. Again, 662-607-7773.
Somehow, some way, I got 10 weekend thoughts up yesterday. They're brought to you by Harry Alexander. You can see 10 weekend thoughts up on the site, or you can see them on the site. They're brought to you by Harry Alexander. Then you go to his site. It's harryalexander.com. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. Then send him an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com. ha@harryalexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, that is the place to go for all of your Nissan needs. They've got all the new 2018s. They've got previously owned Nissans, great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. OUB also offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out LiveOxford, BankOxford.com, or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
10 thoughts went up yesterday. A ton of recruiting went up from the official visit weekend. Also, I had a story on Ole Miss's three everyday faces of their freshman class last year, now sophomores. Possible improvements offensively for them being Thomas Dillard, Gray Kessinger, and Cooper Johnson. Three guys are expected to play every day, Dillard in left field, and then Kessinger and Johnson at shortstop and catcher, respectively. Again, details kind of what they needed to improve, what happened, and then moving forward. And a big thing for them was Mike Clement, hitting coach, telling me, you know, failure even can be a good experience thing. You see how you screwed up, you fix it, you figure out the mental hurdles of 56-game schedules and really failing at this level for the first time in your life. So they've all come back. There's reasons for optimism there, and we talk about that inside that story. So you can check that out at rebelgrove.com. I'm going to look at defense, some defensive stuff later today as well. They had a couple intra-squads over the weekend. Everybody's healthy for Ole Miss. They've had no injuries to this point, and they've also got down to the 35-man roster. That's required every year. Baseball teams are going to bring in more than 35 players, and then they've got to find some way to get down to 35 by opening day. Ole Miss entered the spring with 36. Trace Tyre, the Mississippi native, he has not played much. He, I think, is going to stay at Ole Miss as being a normal student. I don't have that verified, but I think that's what's happening. But anyway, he is the last subtraction that gets him to their 35-man number. No more moves necessary as they enter the 2018 season. I'm going to recruiting in a second, Neil. Commitment last night for the Rebels, Russell Johnson. On top of that, it is really nice to not do recruiting stories right now. I will say that.
Yeah.
Kevontae Ruggs, the 3-star Alabama linebacker, he visited Ole Miss, gives a commitment last night as well. 5.73 stars, so right on the verge of a 4-star ranking from Ole Miss.
He has a bunch of D1 offers. His brother plays at Alabama, and if Alabama had 27, 28 scholarships to give, he'd probably get one of them.
Got to add some weight, but got a good frame to do it. 6'4", 195.
Yeah, he needs to put – you're not going to play linebacker at the SEC level with 195 pounds, I don't think. not played effectively. But he's a good player. He's got multiple offers. I've actually seen some of his film because when I knew that if Alabama offered, I was like, well, pull him up. Alabama just recruits at a different level than that right now. They get who they want. They don't have to redshirt guys.
But yeah, there's a good many offers at the high level. I mean, West Virginia, UCF, Missouri, Louisville, Maryland, Illinois. There's a few. We're supposed to take a visit to Florida Atlantic. I'm assuming that's off.
Yeah, Kiffin was recruiting him hard.
Oh, is that where that came from?
Yeah, because Kiffin recruited his brother at Alabama.
His brother play?
I think he redshirted. Or might have played some. I don't know.
So you've been, both of us, we've been watching from afar a bit this recruiting cycle. You talked about Intent Thoughts a little bit. From a expectation, fan base, following day-to-day standpoint, what's kind of your main takeaways as it's January 29th?
I just think people are going to have to remember that this is a transition class. This class, as I wrote last night, is about survival. This class in September, October, we were talking about, man, they might be like rank number 80. It might be a disaster, right? I mean, it might be one of those deals where you don't have anything productive come out of it. And they did better than that. They're going to do better than that. I'm not going to be the guy that tells you recruiting rankings don't matter because the teams that keep playing for the national championship, they all have really high recruiting rankings. So recruiting rankings do matter. Is this class year after year after year going to be enough to compete in the SEC? Nope. Nope. Absolutely not. And when the people tell you this is a great class and this is what people need to do and this is a sign that this was awesome, that is hyperbolic to the extreme. That being said, when people go, this is a sign that Matt Luke's clearly in over his head and blah, 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 that is hyperbolic. That is not true either. Get back to me in a year. Let's see where they are in a year. We'll see what they look like on the field. And we'll see what their 2019 recruiting class looks like. Mississippi is loaded. Everyone talks about that. So if next season they're fighting at the end to get into the top 30 in the recruiting rankings, well, then I'll tell you that things are not good. We won't hesitate. But it's not there yet. We're not there yet. And I don't really care about where kids are committed when they haven't even gotten halfway through their junior year of high school yet. Holler at me in the fall. As someone who has a child in the 2019 recruiting class, I can tell you that she has no freaking idea where she's going to college. And where she wants to go or what she might be looking for changes like with a whim.
Had she been getting hammered by schools about going there, she would be nothing but more confused.
Yes. She would still be confused, and she would still be doing what these kids are going to do, which is, I guess I need to go look at it. I guess I need to go see it. And that's what's going to happen this spring. They'll have junior days, and they'll have a spring game, and then we'll have the summer camp circuity thing where kids will go look at schools and get to know these coaches, and they will start to – real favorites will begin to emerge. And if we're, like I said, in December and then again in next January, if we're having conversations about how Ole Miss is, quote, not closing strong and they're going to finish 30th, which is good for 12th in the SEC, then that won't work. And that will begin to represent, uh-oh, no question. But for people to do that now, you're just being hyperbolic.
If I had to give you two guesses on where she ends up, what would you guess right now?
Oh, I don't know. She's more comfortable with the smaller schools, Samford, Belmont. Those schools are expensive. She knows she has to do better on the ACT. I don't know. Hard to say. It's impossible to say.
She hasn't seen any of them either.
No. So it's impossible. And so that's my point. I'm using her as an example. People, well, that's different. These are football kids, and they've gone to football games. They have, but they've gone to football games as high school sophomores, as high school juniors, where they're not the priority. They're not the priority on the campus.
I kind of like Samford. It's nice. It's pretty.
Yeah, it's pretty. I don't know anything about it. I've covered some basketball games there. About the extent of it.
It's where Ole Miss baseball always practiced on their off day at the SEC baseball tournament.
Yeah.
Was that Samford?
It's a pretty campus. It's a beautiful part of Birmingham.
Yeah.
Belmont's a pretty campus.
I've never been on that campus.
And I love Nashville. I mean, so, you know, but we'll see.
I got you.
I don't like the idea of her driving on Interstate 40 to get there all the time, but.
Yeah. No, this class was about filling roles, evaluating correctly, where most of the guys could give you something. Fill in something, be on the 2D, do something productive for the roster. Don't make it a total disaster. And he's done that. I mean, also gets Matt Corral, which might be the quarterback of the future. I mean, there's several things here to build on. And that's some of what happens, too, when you have this December signing period now. It's like anything. I mean, I'm just really making fun. It's human nature. You sign those guys, and a week later, you kind of forget about them. Well, okay, who's the nine left? What are we doing now? Now. I mean, okay, those guys are in the boat, so who's still out in the water? That's all I'm real worried about. So there's also – this is the first year of it. Fans and everybody's having to adjust to the multiple signing days and realizing it's all one complete class.
Yes.
Those dudes are here.
They count.
It's good.
Yeah, they're in the bank.
Yeah. So
they needed a quarterback. They got a good one. They needed some receivers. They got them. They needed some offensive linemen. They did okay.
They're bodies at linebacker. What they are beats me, Ash Russell. Yeah. But they're linebackers.
And if you're in on a bunch of kids at the end, you're going to lose some of them. And they've lost their share, and that was predictable. I mean, losing a defensive back from Texas to Nebraska can't be shocking. Scott Frost is a hot name, guys. He went 13-0. He was National Coach of the Year. He brought his whole staff with him. They hit the ground running in Lincoln. You can't be surprised that a kid is attracted to that. That can't stun you. Just perspective. The people who are going, oh, man, see, I told you they're going to be awesome. Look, you can't say that yet. But you also can't say the other. It's too early to say. And the people go, you got to give it 6 years. No, you don't. We'll know in a year. We'll know in a year which way this is headed.
This signing day in 9 days?
Yeah.
Wow.
We're now calling it traditional signing day, national signing
day. Is that
the? It's ridiculous.
What is the proper term?
I guess it's just national signing day.
We've already had that.
Two of them. National signing day part two.
Well, early signing day and then national signing day, right?
Sure.
Well, it was actually an early signing period, which this is technically an early signing period too. You could sign the next day.
Yeah.
You could sign for 60 days or something.
Sure, something like that. They're going to put together a good class. Is it a class that you can build on? Probably. Is it a class that you can have every single year and expect to compete? No. But they know that. But Matt Luke can't stand in front of the room that day and say that. Going to brag about his class. That's what you're supposed to do. And he'll do it.
128 schools signed great classes.
Great classes. Got who we wanted. Great kids. Great families. Excited. Bigger, faster, stronger. Here we go. Talking points.
Yeah. It's recruiting strength coach.
But he knows. If you could give him truth serum, what would he tell you? Could have been a lot worse. Probably could have been a little better. Could have been a lot worse. The clouds passed us now. This next recruiting class, they won't have to hear about bowl bands. They won't be part of that. So we've got to hit it. This is a critical class. Mississippi's loaded with players, and we've got to get our share. We've got to be very efficient. And that's the part of Ole Miss that people have to understand. At Ole Miss, to win big, you have to be very efficient in your recruiting. You have to figure out who to target, and you have to figure out when to bail on those targets.
Yeah, it's the wasted time on the kid you don't get that's the biggest issue.
Yep. Got to have plan Bs. You have to have plan Cs. And go from there. This next class is absolutely critical for the program, for the way people perceive Matt Luke. There'll come a day to judge that. We're just not there yet. We're a year away from that.
Yeah. Gets a little more football-related stuff in a second. First, tell you the podcast brought to you by Tyson Drugs in Holly Springs, 662-252-2321. The number there in Holly Springs, TysonDrugs.com, to see their different services they provide. Also now the owners of G&M Pharmacy in Oxford. They deliver local, and they will give you that hometown service that you know and love. But again, TysonDrugs.com, 662-252-2321.
Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories, recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often. Be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Ole Miss and Auburn tomorrow night at the Pavilion, 8 o'clock. Tip, tickets available, olemisstix.com. That's olemisstix.com. Podcast also brought to you by Gambrell and Associates. Gambrell and Associates have three attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. You should know Super Lawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you know you're getting a good one when you get Robert Gambrell and Associates. They handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. With rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580, they will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today.
So a little bit of news here, at least a timeline. I reported some of this about a week and a half ago, but there's an update here, some stuff I did not know at the time. Antonio Morales with an update on Ole Miss's NCAA appeal. You can read about it at declarandledger.com. Ole Miss has asked for an in-person appeal, so there will be another hearing similar to the Committee on Infractions hearing that levied the penalties in 2017. A couple different things here. They haven't filed the appeal yet. Everybody got a little confused. They had so many days to file the notice of appeal that they were going to appeal. They're putting the finishing touches on it. I think I was told they had somewhere around February 5th to get the appeal out. It's 30 days from whenever the other thing happened. And then at that point, the committee will then respond, and then Ole Miss will have another rebuttal period, and then I guess they'll have a hearing at that point. The infractions committee will have at least five people on it, or I guess maybe five people. Three of those people are now known. They are Ellen Ferris, the Associate Commissioner and Senior Women Administrator for the American Athletic Conference. They are Patty Ohlendorf, the Vice President of Legal Affairs at the University of Texas, Austin.
Okay.
And Anthony Jenkins, Tony Jenkins, a member and Chief Diversity Officer at Dickinson Wright PLLC, so one of the private sector members that they typically have on some of these panels. So again, two additional members are supposed to be appointed by the committee by the end of the month. Three of them are there known. And it appears that Ole Miss will have some semblance of hearing similar to the COI.
What's your expectation there? Anything?
It's hard to win them. You have to prove negligence. You have to prove they systemically did something inaccurate. It's hard. I think they get something diminished. I'll be a little stunned if the bowl ban is reversed, frankly, unless I was right the whole time and it was all kind of a conspiracy and a ploy, which I don't know if I am or not. That was kind of fun to talk about. But just the letter of the law, what it takes to win those appeals, it's very complicated and very difficult to do so.
Yeah, that's – I have this anticipation. I'm such a cynic about the NCAA that I think that they put the unofficial visitor stipulation on knowing that they could waive that to give the perception of...
Because that was really stupid.
It was really stupid.
Yeah.
Haven't gotten your thoughts on this because we haven't really talked about it. You were out of town over the weekend. The comments made by Mark Emmert, the news stories that have come out that Mark Emmert knew about these allegations at Michigan State as many as 7 years ago. I wrote in 10 Thoughts he should resign. I think he should resign. I think he should resign effective immediately. I know he won't. I think he should. I think the NCAA right now, it's a really bad look for college athletics. The deal at Michigan State's really bad. Tom Izzo was grilled a little bit.
I have not watched it yet. I had it pulled up to watch it after the show.
You need to watch it. It's not a strong performance on his part.
It's an outside the lines reporter at the game last night.
Asking him very fair questions, and he has no answers.
Avoids answering, right?
Yeah, he basically gives a stock answer. And you hear the twiddly little SID person in the background. One more, basketball questions only, non-basketball questions only. Come on, stop. Don't go sit in there in a press conference and do the basketball questions only thing. Stop. The worst people in this, beyond the people who committed sexual assault, the worst people in this are the fans who are saying, like, see, my school's better than your school. Stop. This is not a fandom issue. But if you're Mark Emmert, I don't think you can handle this from an administrative standpoint anymore. I think your tone deafness has been revealed and someone else has to step in the wake.
Yeah, there has to be something that gives some semblance of a reset. And always.
Yes.
I mean in every way. In
Has the money, and look, I'm a capitalist, you know this. I'm for people making money. Make all you can make. Like, the people that are mad at Yu Darvish for not having signed yet, or Jake Arrieta for not having, because they're holding out for more money. I'm like, good, hold out for more money. It's your right. Hold out. Has the money in college athletics gotten to the place, though, where doing the right thing is just no longer an option?
I don't want to say no longer an option, but does money change things? Absolutely. It does it in pro sports. It does it in college sports. It does it with people individually. Yep. There's no doubt. It's human nature that when money gets to a certain level, and that's a sliding level depending on what we're talking about.
Right.
Yeah, there's no doubt that power and greed and the dollar comes into morality issues and makes it a very blurred line for the people or the institutions. There's no doubt about that. And college athletics has gotten there from because of a myriad of reasons. I mean, you've got the money. You've got the ability for the NCAA to control the way they control. You've got the odd power structures where players don't get paid, but coaches are getting all-time crazy salaries. Even to the power structure standpoint of programs and schools are defined by coaches whose bosses make less money and have more influence. It's just all the way around a very, very strange structure from a business standpoint that we're used to. And because of that, no, it's like Izzo right here. Should Izzo have to answer all those questions? Yeah, absolutely. Should D'Antonio have to answer a ton of questions? Yes. Should the athletic director basically have to answer every question in the world? Yes.
Yeah, the AD resigned.
Yeah.
Almost like, hey, I can't deal with this. I know where this is going, and we all know where this is going. D'Antoni and Izzo are going to get fired. They're going to lose their jobs. We're just watching hourglass sands go now.
Think so?
Yeah. As it becomes obvious that they basically covered up sexual assaults by their players and coaches, yes, it's over. You're not surviving that. Nor should you.
Yeah. Art Briles, Rick Pitino. On and on and on.
So once it starts, unless you've got a defense, and if you've got a defense, you come out with that defense pretty quickly.
It's the only one that even, and it's not all the same things, I get that, but it's the only one that was going to survive it sort of was Bush Jones before he started losing football games.
Right. Give them credit. They were able to silence that thing pretty quick, weren't they? God.
Kind of interesting here. How much money did that cost? A lot. As Super Bowl week is beginning, you know, for a long time, I always heard about this. You know, Tom Brady has done his weekly interview on Monday mornings on WEEI, the big time sports radio network, and in Boston, he pulled out this past week because of comments about his 5-year-old daughter. Did you see this?
Mm-mm.
All right, so they've got the documentary coming out, Tom versus Time. And apparently in that, I'm going down and looking, Kirk, no, I'm sorry, wrong person. Let's see. Reamer, what is his first name? Says that the host who made a disparaging remark about his daughter, Alex Reamer, said it on a different show on the network last week. Reamer, who's in his mid-20s and sometimes appears on the Kirk and Callahan show, called Brady's daughter an, quote, annoying little pissant. During another portion of the show,
he took a shot at a 5-year-old.
He did. Brady comes on the show and says, "I've tried to come on the show for many years and showed you guys a lot of respect. I've always tried to come on and do a good job for you guys. It's very disappointing when you hear the comments about my daughter. Certainly, my daughter or any child certainly does not deserve that." He said he added he would evaluate again if he will appear on the show. "I really don't have much to say this morning. Maybe I'll speak with you guys some other time," he said before ending the interview. Last week, WEEI's parent company, Intercom, and the Patriots announced a multi-year partnership extension. In making the announcement, Intercom noted the agreement includes broadcasting rights of Patriots Monday, Patriots Friday, headlined by 5-time Super Bowl champion and 4-time Super Bowl MVP Tom Brady, end quote.
Ooh. Tell you what, you take a shot at my kid, I'm not talking to your show. Patriots can just go eat a bag if they tell me I have to.
That dude will be fired in a week.
Yeah, my guess is that Tom will end up back on the show.
And Reamer will not.
Reamer will not. Tom will be more than apologized to.
Think so.
And that little girl's 6th birthday party is going to be one hell of a party funded by WEEI.
Would you like a pony?
Would all of your friends like a pony?
Yeah. I think Brady's probably a big draw for Patriots Monday and Friday on WEEI each week in Boston.
I'm guessing it's a significant portion of the contract.
Yeah.
Would your friends' friends like a pony? Who all would like a pony?
Yeah, it's Patriots Monday featuring 3rd-string quarterback.
Patriots Monday featuring former quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yes. God.
Does anyone out there know where to get ponies?
Yes. Drew Bledsoe stopping into the WEEI hotline this morning. Patriots Monday.
Ryan Mallett.
Yeah.
Here on the program. Ryan, how's Tom? But hey, Ryan, can you ask Tom if his daughter got the pony?
For sports in general, Tiger Woods made it through 72 holes without injury over the weekend.
Saw that. Good for him.
Played okay. Wasn't terrible. Made the cut. And then was all right on the weekends. It was not awful.
Roger Federer won his 20th Grand Slam.
He did.
He has won Grand Slam events 15 years apart. It's amazing. It hardly gets mentioned because men's tennis in the U.S. is so off the radar. But that is an incredible sports accomplishment. One that I'm not sure that we're giving enough credit to. 15 years bracketing these Grand Slam wins.
It's the durability that gets me because I saw a tennis writer yesterday day before saying, you know, I've spent so much time going, yeah, but because of all the people he hasn't had to face in his eras. But that's kind of the point. He's been able to maintain his body when these other guys break down constantly.
He's been in multiple eras.
Yeah.
He's the constant.
Some guys, a lot of guys have better head-to-head records against him because they fall out of so many tournaments before they get to him.
Yeah, it's not Roger Federer's fault that Rafael Nadal has broken down, yeah, or that
Djokovic doesn't have an elbow right now.
That's, I mean, how is that Federer's fault? Somebody controlling the uncontrollable is completely out of his realm.
He's going to keep going.
And I don't know what kind of guy he is or whatever.
Seems to be a good dude.
But his brand is just pristine.
Well, I told you, he cracks me up every time when he wins. And he has to go get like the smoking jacket and the Rolex and all and put it on. And then
I love
back.
It. It's great.
He goes in his bag and starts waffling out all the stuff and putting
you
it
can,
on. And
you can see his mind turning. All right, who was that last one?
Where is that watch?
Okay, Rolex. Am I supposed to wear the which one? Is this the new one? Did I grab the right Rolex? Okay, I need to hold my water bottle this way.
Yeah.
All right. Which jacket am I supposed to put on?
Yeah.
I've never worn this
Where
one
is that today. Mercedes keychain?
Kind of takes a minute to collect himself as he digs through his bag.
Yeah.
All right, I had to bring this Rolex in case I lost. But I didn't lose, so we're selling this Rolex because we won.
Wilson doing a pretty cool thing. They did 20 tennis rackets, personally signed by Federer with the 20 logo emblem thing on them. They're selling them starting this morning for $20,000 each, all going to charity.
That's cool.
Yeah, doing Federer 20 rackets for that. So, yeah, for good week for the old man. Federer wins the Australian Open at 36. Tiger finished T23, tied for 23rd this week at Torrey Pines.
The significant things was that he made the cut and that he was able to get through 72 holes.
Played well at a really tough golf course.
That's what. And to his credit, he didn't do the deal where he lost his mind trying to win. I think he understood maybe that.
Oh, he had to grind. I mean, his long game was not very good. He was great around the greens, and mentally he was very, very strong.
That's what matters at this point. If you're his coach, you say, hey, that's good. We build off that.
They've coming back this morning. Might be over now. I don't know what time they're starting. Maybe they're starting in an hour. They've got a playoff that is still going because it's on its fifth or sixth sudden death playoff hole. So they're actually finishing this morning. Daylight last night got them. A large segment of golf fans really frustrated because the round took forever, including one instance. And I'm going to ask you about this, Neil, get you kind of your thought on this as a very casual golf fan. What's your?
It is one of my thoughts about
your thoughts are
one of my thoughts about golf in general is that those last Sundays they do take too long.
Yeah, so I'm asking that in a second. First, podcast brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You get local underwriting that understands your market. Also, a leader in condo financing. So find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance, but did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Well, recently State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, Romero challenges you to give him a shot at that property. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason to give him a call, go to Google, read Romero Miller State Farm reviews. And then if you have insurance needs in Tennessee or Mississippi, give Romero Miller State Farm a call, 662-893-1212.
So a lot of golf people really frustrated with this yesterday. J.B. Holmes, U.S. golfer, I think he's from Kentucky, pretty popular, made Ryder Cup teams and different things. So doesn't need the money per se. You know what I mean? Like it's not the rookie out there grinding for place to try to hang around. He comes to the 18th fairway yesterday. He's down by two. Okay, trying to get into a playoff, and it's a par five. So if you make an eagle, you tie. You get into the playoff. He's incredibly long from a hitting standpoint. Typically can get to a lot of greens in two if anybody can. Okay, so they timed it. He gets to his ball down two, middle of the fairway. I think, on the 18th hole. He takes 4 minutes and 10 seconds to decide what club to hit.
It's ridiculous.
Down two.
It's ridiculous.
And then ends up laying up, not even going for the green. So a guy that doesn't need the place didn't even try to win, didn't try to tie, didn't go for it. Put the club up, hits a short iron down there, then wedges onto the green, and took 4 minutes to do it, meanwhile icing his playing partner, who's tied for the lead at the moment or one shot back. that needs to go win the tournament, and then he hits a poor shot. 4 minutes and 10 seconds, no marshal, no official said a word to him.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. Of course, you're talking to somebody who's pro pitchcock. I like things moving. Did you read it's in 10 Thoughts. You'll enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
You'll enjoy it. It's in one of the links.
Okay.
Why is baseball taking so damn long? They took a game, took an 84 Cubs-Pirates game, and a game last year between the Mets and somebody.
Okay.
That the games were same score, number of pitches were like two off.
Okay. And so that, found two very
two similar. Games that were basically the same. Number of hitters, everything. The game in 84 lasted 2.5 hours. The game in last year was like 3:17.
So what is it?
It's the time standing around between pitches.
That's why college baseball thinks they have a fix with these headsets.
It's not the commercial breaks. The commercial breaks in 84 were every bit as long and lumbersome as they are now. It's the time spent between pitches.
College baseball now has for years now, they've had a pitch clock where you have so many seconds to get the pitch off if nobody's on base. And then they time between innings very tightly where you have to start the next half inning.
Yeah.
They've now gone another stretch where I've written about this. You can find it at Rebel Grove somewhere.
I read it.
The same people who do the quarterback microphones for the NFL have designed catcher communication systems, which allows the coach to audibly give the signals to the catcher to relay the pitcher, and they think it'll save several seconds per pitch because you don't have all that looking over there and coming through and going through signals again. You just say,
the catcher
hey,
looks over
inside.
The catcher looks over at Mike, and he has to do his ears and his nose and his stuff, and then the catcher has to relay the sign to the pitcher, and now he just fastball inside.
Yeah.
One. Let's go.
Yeah. Even bunt defenses. Hey, three here. Likely.
Yeah. Let's go. Yeah. Move it along. And people that – and I know what people say, and they're right. And I'm speaking specifically about Major League Baseball here, not the college game. No one goes to the ballpark and says, boy, I tell you, this game lasted 3 hours and 1 minute. I was ready to go 22 minutes ago. It's not, but that's not the point. The point is about the TV ratings. If your TV ratings fall off a cliff, all of a sudden your advertising falls off a cliff. And if your advertising falls off a cliff, you're in trouble. There's a reason that the NBA has so much success with their app and the condensed games.
No, I'm agreeing with all that. And even though you're not looking at the clock to go, you still like crisp movement. I mean, you know, there's still a plotting element that you'd like to avoid. So,
if I'm watching Kentucky and Florida, am I more apt to watch it if the game is moving along than I am if the pitcher for Florida, for example, is
it's one of the appeals to people like
seconds.
Softball.
Yes, it goes fast.
Softball moves.
Seven inning games done in an hour and a half. It's great. Quick, boom, boom. It's not
defense. Go.
Yes. Yeah, action. People like basketball because the game moves. No one likes the college game because they call every freaking foul and the second half takes forever because everyone's shooting free throws.
This is interesting. A little bit. Two things here. Two golf notes for anyone. Really just sports notes in general, however. So the first one, the longest sudden death playoff in PGA Tour history is 11 holes. Held at the 1949 Motor City Open. That day, Kerry Middlecoff, Ole Miss alumnus, and Lloyd Mangum were declared co-winners by mutual consent. Don't think you'd have that today. Probably going to play that puppy out in today's world.
Probably so.
I mean, do you have any sports where you share at any point? Obviously, I mean, regular season ties, but otherwise, in poker, they'll split prize money sometimes, I think. That's about it, though. I'm trying to think. Other thing here, and there's some subtlety to this because typically they don't have weekend coverage, so a Sunday night is probably going to get more than a Thursday or Friday night. But Golf Channel PR sends this out. Coverage of the Farmers Insurance Open yesterday at Torrey Pines playoff. Yesterday on the Golf Channel earned a 186 overnight rating. It marks the highest overnight rating ever for Golf Channel handoff coverage and the highest ever overnight rating for a PGA Tour telecast on the Golf Channel. With no big names in the playoff.
Really?
I mean, Jason Day's in it, but nothing for the U.S. market. It's not Dustin or Spieth or Tiger or Phil.
Right. That's interesting. I'm surprised.
Had you told me that on Thursday, I went, oh, shit, Tiger's in the playoff.
Yeah.
Would have been my only thought. If you said, hey, PGA Tour is going to have some viewing records on Sunday, I went, oh, he's in contention.
I just think it also tells you that sports viewing is everything's kind of niche now.
Yeah.
If you want to watch golf, you can. I mean, it wasn't too many years ago. If you wanted to watch golf, you had to wait for the Masters and the U.S. Open and the.
Yeah, now I can watch golf 24 hours a day.
If I want to watch golf, I can watch golf.
Yeah. Well, just interesting stuff there. Anyway, guests over the course of the week here on the show, baseball, basketball coverage, and recruiting leading you up to the February National Signing Day. So we will talk to you tomorrow. Check RebelGirl.com in the meantime. Talk to you then.